she's doing porn again.
Welcome to After Adult. My name is Siri, or Siri Doll. Or, I mean, Rachel calls me Adrian for the podcast. Just call me, I don't know, call me whatever.
Call me Ishmael.
Jesus. Oh my god. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Adrian.
So our guest today is, I just want to introduce you right away, Robbie, because I'm staring at your face and like, it's just giving me some nerves right now.
Some nerves.
Typically, we like have a chat and then introduce the guest, but this is Robbie Echo
or Robbie Apples.
Robbie Apples. Yeah. So and you guys, I feel like my worlds are colliding right now because Rachel, like obviously, you're like my bestie, mm-hmm. IRL,
mm-hmm.
and Robbie, you're my roomie when I'm in Los Angeles.
Porn roomie,
aka.
Oh, so you also live in the Den of Sin with Sean?
The what?
Den of Sin.
Oh, Sin. Yes. Lots of Sin.
Yeah. It is a Den of Sin. I mean, that is pretty accurate.
An inferno. But, oh, wait, so is it your dog? Sorry, am I giving too much away about your roommates?
No, I mean, okay. Fuck them.
No, the dog that you've seen, it belongs to Charlotte Sins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's a porn star, and she comes over to the house, and she has a very gorgeous, gorgeous dog.
So pretty.
She's large, and what is Molly? A Great Pyrenees? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a big, furry white dog. I love her.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
We're recording this, like, the week before Thanksgiving, and I'm just going to say that because I'm not actually sure yet when this episode's going to be released. So, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like that might be relevant.
Well, I have a question then, Thanksgiving themed. So, have either of you ever been, because I know, like, industry night karaoke is a thing. Have either of you ever been to, like, an industry night Thanksgiving or, like, Friendsgiving? And what's that like?
I've been to one in the past, but it was a really long time ago. So, yeah. Robbie, have you been?
I've been to a few. I mean, they're pretty much, it's pretty much like Thanksgiving with your family, except there's no fighting. And there's a lot more dick jokes and pussy jokes, and yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the only difference. There's no fighting.
So,
yeah.
Sorry, we should... Robbie, what do you do in the industry for people who don't know? Like, me, I mean, I do know, but only because of Adrian, otherwise I wouldn't know.
Yeah. I'll just backtrack and let you actually introduce yourself here.
I am a professional sex athlete.
Woo!
What does that mean? What's your favorite sex sport?
Sex sport? Getting it in the hole.
Oh my god. God damn. I feel like if you did play sex sport, it would have to be like sex rugby, because you basically wear kind of a rugby uniform that with your short shorts all the time.
Yes,
it does.
Yeah, but no, I see myself as a sex athlete. I mean, I have to maintain my body, and I have to do pretty acrobatic sexual positions from time to time. Yeah.
I truly thought you were going to say that I have to maintain my erection, which is also true.
That's also an acrobatic feat in the conditions that I work in.
Yeah.
I have another question. And then I had to explain to my fiance what this was, because he asked, what questions are you going to ask? I think this is the first time you've had a guy on who is like, actually does the sex on camera. Yeah. So are fluffers a real thing?
They're not, but I have had one or two.
I was almost going to be a fluffer for you.
For me? For what?
Yeah, when I had when you did the cum challenge or whatever it was called.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You asked me if I would rather be a fluffer or a judge.
Well, they're not. They weren't technically fluffers. They were extractors. they extracted the semen for the judges to taste.
All right, now you have to tell Rachel what the hell you're talking about, because she looks very confused and maybe slightly concerned.
I have been told time and time again that I have some of the best tasting cum, and I think that it's due to my diet, so we made this this contest to test it out. And the way we set it up was that we had two extractor girls who would extract the semen from three guys. Mm-hmm. We were all behind a curtain, and we had four judges on the other side of the curtain, and they would extract the semen, and the extractor girls would take the semen, and the judges would try it, and then they would judge everyone's semen. And
did you win?
I got dead last. It crushed my heart. And this is what I think it was. I think stress is a huge factor. I worked every day that week, and I was producing that thing pretty much on my own. And on top of producing, wearing so many different hats in production and performing. And I think I just wore myself down and didn't produce the best cum.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
Yeah, it was a sad day.
So do you eat a lot of pineapple?
I don't eat a lot of pineapple, but I don't eat any junk food. I don't drink alcohol. I don't consume processed sugar. I don't consume any processed foods. I have a very strict, very pure diet, and I think that that makes a difference.
Nice.
You're smoothie daddy.
But fucking stress, man. Stress is a killer. It will kill your semen.
I mean, I think it'd also kill your erection.
Yeah, yeah.
Stress stress is not good for your sex life. And then people are like, well, you can have sex and it'll de-stress, but if you're, like, thinking about your deadline for work as, you know, someone's finger blasting you, it's not sexy.
Yeah, because you can't fully relax, and there's... Like, yes, sex can relax you, but you also have to be relaxed to have sex. Because when we're stressed out, our body is sending blood to our limbs, because our body is like, hey, well, there's something weird and stressful going on. I may need to run away or fight something. Let's not send blood to the genitals right now.
Do you think you could ever retrain your body and brain to be like, please send stress to my... Please send blood to my genitals right now. Like, instead of, like, I'm... So, like, when your flight or fight response kicks in, it's just, like, you end up being fully erect.
Holy
shit. It's like...
I mean, I've heard stories of guys getting a boner in a very inopportune moment just because of, like,
boners?
Adrenaline. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or, like, an adrenaline boner. Or, like, an excitement about literally anything else that's not sexual boner.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about being an adult and that happening, but, like, when I was, like, a teenager, you would have, like, if you had the thought of a boner, you would have a boner, and then you would kind of, like, panic and be like, no, 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 please don't have a boner, please don't have a boner, and that would just make you have a boner even more.
Oh, God.
So what would you be doing if you weren't a sex athlete?
What would I be doing? Well, I was doing motion graphics before I got into porn.
Oh, cool.
And then, I think I'd probably get into, like, therapy or maybe a yoga instructor. I do like helping people, with their baggage and stuff, because I came from a dark background, and now I've seen the light, and I just like helping people out in that respect.
It's fair. What are some of the ways, like, are you, like, on your Twitter, and then, like, someone, like, messages you, or, like, subtweets you and is like, fuck Robbie Apples. And then you do like a Sarah Silverman and you're like, hey, I don't know why you're saying this. Let's talk it out. And then.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. That's definitely how I like to try and handle stuff. I would like to just pause and
you're
and
a lover.
Comment on how much, how adoringly Siri is looking at me.
I know.
About to interrupt. I was like, I'm just sitting here and I'm going, God, I'm useless for this whole podcast because yeah. I'm just staring at your fucking face going, yeah. Like, God damn it, I want to sit on his face.
So for everyone who, before we can't damn record, the first thing that I heard, because I had to go close my door, was, it's so weird seeing you, because I just want to fuck now. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Because me and Robbie logged on, like, a second before you did, Rachel, and so it was just mm-hmm. us, and I was just looking at it. And I don't, yeah, yeah, you're right. You came in right as I was saying that, like, basically my body, my physical response is trained to see Robbie and be like, it's time to have sex.
Dude, like, seriously, when she comes into town, it is, like, it is impossible for us to not have sex with each other within the first 5 minutes of her coming in through the front door. Seriously. Like, only the last time did we hold off, and that was because we had to run and go buy some weights or something.
Yeah, I had to go pick up a bunch of weights from some guy who lived, God, out in the middle of nowhere in the valley.
But as soon as we got home, then it was sex time.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what would you say the biggest difference between porn stars having sex just to have sex versus having sex on camera? Because I know have you all shot anything together, or are you just...
Oh, we've shot...
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, we've shot a lot of scenes together. Mostly just stuff that we've shot ourselves that we both mm-hmm. sell on OnlyFans and, like, ManyVids. But yeah. We did the one scene for Belesa that hasn't been released yet, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So we've done a professional scene together. And that, I mean, it was, like, slightly different than shooting content for ourselves. It always is. But I think the biggest difference between a camera being on in the room recording and not is, it's like just being aware of body positioning and stuff. Like, there are some positions that I really like to do in my personal life sex that maybe don't look great on camera. Like, as in, don't give the viewer a good view of, like, what is literally happening.
Missionary.
Yeah. Missionary is kind of hard to shoot. Yeah, it is, which is unfortunate because it's, like, one of the few positions I can effectively achieve an orgasm in.
Yeah, people give missionary shit, but it's, like,
it's a good
position. Yeah.
It's so good. I love missionary.
Now, what about missionary, like, as I imagine it, like, Handmaid's Tale style missionary, like, laying, like, straight with your legs straight down, and then the person doing penetrating on top, and, like, also straight legs? Like, because I've actually, like, almost never had sex in missionary position like that. Like, I mean, my legs, I guess, like, it, out some in weird direction.
I guess it depends. Are your legs straight out because you choose to have them straight out, or are they straight out because you've chosen to have them restrained? And then they're just straight out.
Rachel, bring in some spice in.
Yes, mm-hmm. Add a little spice. So how did you all meet? I know.
Oh, God. All right.
Oh, my God.
All right, so Robbie, good. You want to answer this one?
That's so good. Jesus Christ.
You
want to
tell the story? Capital T.
We almost didn't meet because I almost did not go out that night. We were at Avian this past year, at the beginning of this year, in January. And there was this leather party that had, like, a private room for the porn stars. And there's going to be a sex performance, and I was so
which there
tired.
Was. We watched the sex performance.
Wait, okay, what is a sex performance like?
Well, a lot of hands went in someone's butt.
Ooh.
Yes. This was also in a very small, like, the VIP area that we were in was really small.
It was small. So small. Yeah,
it was like it, honestly, the VIP room was about the size of Michael Vegas's asshole.
How many hands can Michael Vegas fit up his butt?
At the same time, I'm not sure. I put my entire forearm in his butt.
It was like three or four, but I had to turn away because I realized at that time that I was not cool enough as I thought I was in that sex party to watch the whole thing.
Oh my God.
My stomach started to curl. I was like, okay.
That's what I was about to ask. Like, what do you mean by like cool enough? You were like, I can handle this, or like, I was getting aroused, and I was like, you know what, whatever. But so you were like kind of.
I was like, I get down. I can see some shit. Like, okay, like, let's show me this fisting, and then when I saw it going whoa, my stomach flipped, and I was like. Oh,
like
okay.
Punching someone's insides, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, really hard fisting.
I was like, I'm not going to be the guy that throws up at this sex party, so I'm just going to look away, and I'm going to think about some happy thoughts here.
Aw. Yeah, I mean, there were so many people, like, crowded around. It was like, because it was such a small room that there was, like, the people doing the performance on this, like, couch area, and then there were, like, a couple rows deep of like people spectating, and I remember being like the third row back, and I couldn't really see much, so I was just like, okay, cool, and I just like mostly wanted to talk to other people at the party because it was a bunch of porn people that I like either know about and hadn't met or had not seen in like 5 years.
So I think it was after the performance.
Yeah, it was soon after the performance. Everyone dispersed, and
I was talking to Siri and Chad Alva. Like, we were all very close together, and before I knew it, like, maybe, like, 2 minutes into the conversation, we decided to forget Chad Alva was there,
and we just forgot he existed.
Started shoving our tongues down each other's throats.
And it was just a vibe. Like, we were just looking, there was just a lot of eye contact, and it was like, wow, I'm really feeling like I just really need to touch this person in a very sexual way.
And then we kind of...
And your eyes said, yes.
And then we kind of stumbled over to the drinking area, which was just like a weird fold-up table that had some alcohol on it. And then we proceeded to copulate. And then...
So wait, you were like the side sex show at
Pretty
the sex
much.
Show?
We were the unplanned. I feel kind of bad about it, honestly, because I know it was like it was supposed to be this like performance for like Michael Vegas and like Natalie Mars and.
Well, he did his performance.
He
even bowed at the end. And then we took over. We were the surprise main event.
Poor Michael didn't know he was the opener for our headliner that night.
Well, but Adrian, apparently that it was a great opportunity for you to show your stuff, because then Michael Vegas was like, can you stick your fist up my asshole?
Oh, no. I think this was after I already stuck my fist up his asshole. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Maybe cool. He invited me to the party because I did such a good job sticking my fist up his asshole.
he's like the pegging and fisting king, right?
Yeah. I mean, his website is peghim.com. Like, he
owns it.
I think it's fair to say that Michael Vegas has, like, mainstreamed men in porn getting pegged. Like... Because he was pretty successful as a like more of a like quote unquote like vanilla performer before he started shooting all of his pegging content.
Yeah.
Which came first, Michael Vegas getting pegged or the episode of Broad City where Abby finally gets to peg her hot neighbor? It was 2015 was when the episode aired.
There's like a, you know, group consciousness is a thing. It's totally possible at the same time. They were both, like, really, like, focused on pegging.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. I feel like there's probably... I feel like Michael Vick has probably always on some level been focused on pegging. I mean, you can't love something that much.
Oh, he has.
Like, and
he's been doing it for a while.
Yeah. Like, whether or not it was in like porn scenes and stuff, like, I feel like that's a guarantee.
He's so advanced.
He's like, so advanced. It's insane.
You don't just come out of the gate that advanced.
I asked him how long it took him to, like, get his butt in that condition where he could take things that big in it. And he was like, literally, like, 5 years of, like, consistent butt play and putting big things in the butt and training your body to, like, respond the way you want it to, kind of, to that.
So you hear that, listeners? It's that, you know, 10,000 hours makes you a master.
10,000 hours of fists in my ass. And that's the name of this podcast episode.
Which is funny because it's not, doesn't sound like it's Robbie's bag at all. And he's the guest. And,
Although I did peg Robbie, so we've come full circle and we're back on topic.
Yeah, I'm okay with pegging a reasonably sized dildo.
Yeah.
But
I had a very believable dick.
I don't want to go beyond that. I have no need, no desire to go beyond that.
Yeah, you're not trying to push the limits of biology.
Push the envelope of sphincters.
Another possible episode title. So I think at that party we had sex for so long that there were people who got tired of us having sex in that VIP room and left to go join the main party downstairs and like dance a bit, and then came back upstairs to the VIP room an hour later and we were still having sex, and the whole thing is filmed, like.
Yeah.
We have a video
we've
been selling since then. I love that it was filmed. It was the most random thing, and it's still like one of my best selling scenes, and it's just, it wouldn't have even existed had you not gone to that party that night, and also had my roadie fan friend that helped me at AVN not been there to just grab my iPhone and start filming it.
You know what I love about the fact that we have videographic evidence of our first encounter is that we can share that with our barn children in the future.
Oh my god. Oh Jesus.
What barn children?
No, I was wondering if you were going to say it. I was wondering if you were going to say something. Well, god damn it. Now everyone has to find out about my...
Do you have something to tell me?
No, it's an inside joke. Which we can totally, I mean, it's like, it's not really that inside. It's, I might have a bit of a fetish for, like, breeding, as in, like, I don't know. Can you describe it better, Robbie?
Rachel?
Turning so red right now. No, because I don't really have any, like, fetishes, but this is the closest thing I have to a fetish, and it's more about, like, dirty. Same. It's, like, things I like to hear someone say to me during sex, which is like, super ironic, because I do like, not ever want children.
Like, make me your heifer daddy. Oh.
I'm going to say that. I'm going to say that next time.
So, it's more like she wants to be fed some healthy food so that she can be bred really well.
Oh my god, I love it.
And we're gonna do it in a barn.
Enjoying like cream pies a lot, right? Because ever since I got an IUD, it's become like a thing that I can, you know, feel relatively safer about doing. And so I realized how much I like it, and then it became. It's gone into like straight fucking basically fetish territory for me.
I don't even know how it started. Like, when did we begin with this?
Well, like, I've been not necessarily talking, like, actually say, like, talking about like breeding fetish or barn daddies with my partner, but ever since I've dated my partner, it's like been a thing between us two.
So
like I've always had like kind of like a thing for cream pies, but no one ever knew it, especially not in porn, because the first time I was in porn, I didn't have an IUD, like I was on the pill, and it was still like super, super risky.
I would just really like to hear your partner say the phrase barn daddy. I just think it would be very funny, and I would like to hear him say it. Because I think it would be hilarious. Oh, man, wait. I just remembered. I had to tell you all something about Jude.
Wait, is this related to barn daddies?
It's not. I mean, I guess it could be. Depends on how far you're taking that barn role play. but, so I had to explain that scat play was a thing to Jude this week.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It was because we were making a joke about the amount of dairy we were consuming and how there would be no sexy time after that. And
is Jude also lactose intolerant? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you are two lactose intolerant people who like had an evening where you were like, let's eat this cheese, babe.
Okay. I don't know if you know this about people who are lactose intolerant. We're not weak. Like people allergic to tree nuts. No, I'm just kidding. No, we don't care about our intolerance.
Yeah.
And so we eat all of the dairy products.
Yep. That's my experience as well with... I'm not personally lactose intolerant. I just choose to not really consume a lot of dairy, but...
I was going to say, your partner is the only person I know who's lactose intolerant who actually, like, does not consume dairy.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, like, but the other day we were at an Indian restaurant and he ordered chai tea and I was like, isn't there milk in that? Like a lot? Like, isn't that mostly milk? And he's like, yep. And then just drank the whole thing. Like, he's really likes it at that particular place, I guess. So, Robbie Apples. Wait, so let's talk about this real quick, because I think I've asked you before, but are you... So your stage name has been, like, Robbie Echo. Like, you're on Twitter, you're at Robbie Echo XXX, right? Mm-hmm. But you're also Robbie Apples. Can you explain why?
It's crazy, but it's confusing, and I don't know what to do about it.
Where does the apples come from, though?
The apples came from, because I eat a lot of apples on set, and my friends, these two girls in the industry... They were like, we're going to make a fake Twitter account called Robbie Apples because you always eat apples on set. And we're going to post photos of you eating apples. And when they told me that, I was like, that's a great idea. They actually did it without telling me first. And then they told me later. And I was like, oh, this is great. So then I started an Instagram as kind of a joke called Robbie Apples, and I posted photos of me eating apples all the time. And then Instagram got bigger in the porn industry, and then it kind of just really worked as my branding because I'm very health-oriented, and I like promoting health for better sex, and so the apple was a really good brand for that. So then now I've really adopted the Robbie Apples, but I haven't taken the time and effort to change all my emails and my accounts to Robbie Apples. So they're all still pretty much Robbie Echo.
And it's... What is your favorite apple variety?
Don't answer. Well, okay. No, go ahead and answer it.
I have
a game planned for later in the episode, and I may have already put a question in related to that.
Well, let's just play the game, and then we can
find out. Just do it in the middle.
I was
it's
just
going
to make a joke about how eat that apple variety, and then you will have semen that tastes as good as Robbie Echo. But but you know, let's play the game.
Let's do it. All right, so Robbie, I've customized the options in this game to, not all of them are like specifically for you, but I threw some ones in there that I know, because I know you well enough, I felt like I could So we're gonna play this or that. I give you two things and you have to choose which one. You have to pick one. Simple, you know?
This isn't as fun as when they do it on TikTok and they do a dance and they go to one side or the other, but like, yeah, exactly.
All right, so this or that, I'm not going to give you any time limits. I'm just going to give you the options. You tell me which one you would pick. Desert or mountains?
Mountains.
Making out or eating ass? Oh, he's stumped. Oh, mm-hmm. Such a hard decision.
I would say making out because I'm a lover, but man, I love eating ass.
I know you do. You are someone who eats ass like your life depends on it.
It does.
I appreciate it.
It really does. If I don't eat that ass, I will die.
Regular or goofy?
Well, I'm regular, so I choose.
Well, that. I don't know. I know you skateboard, and I wanted to ask you because I literally don't know.
That's right.
I don't even remember what they mean. I just know it's which way you fit, like which way, yeah. Which foot's in front. Right.
Regular is left foot in front. Goofy is right foot in front.
Okay. So, like, is Goofy the one, like, that typically someone who's left-handed or, like, left dominant would ride?
Yeah.
Or does it even, is it correlated?
It kind of is for some people. Most people, it kind of is correlated. Like, you want your strong leg to be the one in the back.
Okay.
And so for me, that's my right foot is in the back because I can stomp that one the hardest. Yeah, but some people, like my buddy Kyle, he rode Goofy and he was right footed. Like he would kick a soccer ball with his right foot, but he would skate with his left foot kicking the tail.
Well,
I'm glad that we clarified what that was because I was just like, wow, this guy's so boring. Regular.
I mean, if we're talking like solely personality wise, oh, goofy. Definitely goofy.
Yes, yeah, see, fuck. That's what I thought, and I was like, okay.
Oh my god. Dogs or cats?
Cats.
I'm so pleased that you answered cats. Georgia, did you hear that? She didn't, because I have headphones on. All right. Butts or boobs?
Butts.
High five, I'm with you.
Respect.
Smoothie or juice? Your face. Oh, no.
I feel like I know what the answer should be based on what you said, but... I don't want to influence your decision.
What do you mean, Rachel?
Well, because juice is basically just, you get none of the fiber benefits of eating fruits and vegetables, and it's just all, like, sugar. Like, if you compare a glass of orange juice, even if it's fresh squeezed, versus a glass of Coca-Cola, the sugar content is basically the same.
Well, depends on your goals. I would argue that this is a myopic view of juice.
Oh, oh no.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
Because cold-pressed juice is very different. And that's the only juice that I will drink because you do get the micronutrient benefits and you get all your vitamins and minerals. They're not burned off from pasteurization. That is most common in juices that are sold at grocery stores.
That's an LA thing, not a Kentucky thing. We'll get it in, like, the next. Oh, that's not true. We have like two places that do cold pressed juice, and they're like in the bougie parts of town. So,
yeah, that's true. We do have our two juice bars here,
but like it's not readily accessible to the people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would, yeah, I agree with you, like, if it's pasteurized juice, yeah, like, there's no real benefit, and you're just getting sugar content. It is essentially like you're just drinking the soda content in a, or I mean, the sugar content in a soda.
Okay, so then, specification, cold-pressed juice or smoothie?
like... Yeah, for the rest of your life, if you had to pick one.
Whoa, for the rest of your life?
I know. Okay, that's more of like a would you rather like game than a this or that. But I just feel like I need to up the stakes to make you decide one here.
What's funny is that kind of changed it for me. Like I was leaning towards smoothie because smoothies are more filling and I could, you know, they could be potentially like a little meal.
Yeah.
But then for life, I was like, you know, I wouldn't get tired of juice as much as I would get tired of smoothies,
well,
I think.
Interesting.
But I don't know. Fuck, this is hard.
I like that this is the hardest one. It's like, the second hardest one so far has been whether you should eat ass or make out with someone, and then it's like cold pressed juice or smoothie.
I'm gonna go with juice.
All right. I respect your decision, sir. Much respect. Respect for juice.
Cold-pressed juice, specifically.
Cold-pressed juice.
Next question. Gala or Fuji?
Gala is usually
I'm dumping
my go-to.
You. You're no longer my porn husband.
What?
Fuji Ooh. Apples are way better than Gala.
Well, but Gala are usually cheaper. So I guess I'm going the more economical route.
For the number of apples you consume, that makes perfect sense. I will buy like 4 apples every 2 weeks, and that's and then I'm like, yeah, and then like half the time I'll forget to eat them because like I don't know why I always forget to eat things that I buy. It's a problem. All right, Gala apples because they're cheaper.
But okay, then what is your favorite apple?
Yeah, what is your favorite?
Economics of apples aside.
Like, out of all the varieties. I just said Gala
variety.
Or Fuji, because I think they're, like, similar, and, yeah.
All the varieties. All the varieties.
The look on your face right now, Ravi, is so good. It's so good.
You should just like superimpose apples, like, all the varieties.
Yeah. It's like apples floating around your head.
Listeners, it's like he walked into a store that had every single apple available to man, and then at the end of it, he got to eat someone's ass.
You know, I think my favorite... Why are you guys torturing me? I came on this podcast to have fun.
I'm feeling really attacked right now. Oh,
I would say
the other questions are easier.
It's either
this
like,
is like the hardest one.
It's either like an Envy or a Jazz or a Honeycrisp.
Honeycrisps are really good for baking. They're nice. They're firm. I prefer them to Granny Smiths, and that's my baking apple hot take.
Nice and firm.
Yep,
just the way I like Robbie's apples to be. Next question.
Next question. Here we go. This or that.
Yes.
Features or gonzo scenes?
Features.
Why?
Because I'm a star.
Because you're acting, darling.
What's a gonzo scene? I mean, like, I feel like I get it based on context, but...
No plot. No, like, unscripted, no plot, reality scenario. Like, Brazzers versus, like, a movie parody or, like, a film that has some sort of character development.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a romantic, and I like to have a little dance with my partner before we jump in the saddle, and I feel like gonzo scenes are kind of
just like we did the night we met, Robbie.
Listen, but there's something
after talking
something
for 2 minutes
cosmic going on in our connection. Okay, like we were dancing before we even knew each other.
Okay, fair. That is what our astrology connection says.
Oh my god, are you also an astrology bitch, Robbie?
He's more of an astrology bitch than I am.
I'm a turbo astrology bitch.
I made Adrian sad because I'm not, except I send Adrian memes all the time about astrology because I know she's into it. And so I send her ones that I think are funny. So she sent me this app that's not CoStar. She was like, you should try this. And I was like, I don't actually buy into this stuff. I'm sorry.
Well, you got to take a look. You don't have to buy into it, but you can consider it.
That's true. I could.
Rachel won't join the pattern.
I won't join the pattern.
And Rachel, at the very least, it's a permission slip to poke around at the multifaceted characteristics of your personality.
Yeah, but if I believe that, then, or if I not buy into it. If I really get into it, then I'm a Virgo who's with a Virgo, and our house should be like immaculately organized.
That is a superficial understanding of astrology.
You know who you sound like
well,
right
that's
now,
all
Rachel?
I've got.
You, Rachel.
And that's why you don't buy into it.
Exactly.
I wouldn't buy into it either if I only had a superficial understanding. But there's so much more. Like, you're only taking into account generalized astrology. A Virgo is not always just a Virgo.
There Rachel,
many,
you sound like
there
Sean
are many
Elf.
Different types of Virgos.
Yeah.
There's so many. The way I was thinking of it, because I'm always trying to think of arguments for my roommate, Sean, and I think the reason why he writes it off immediately is because he likes a square to be a square because it should always be a square. And with astrology, a square is not always a square. Sometimes a square is a square with a little bit of a circle, and you have to take that into account.
Oh, so maybe the reason that I don't buy into astrology is because I'm Jewish and I already get that from Judaism. It's like I don't need to have astrology in my life to get that. I just need to talk to my rabbi.
Yeah, that makes sense. Honestly, that's like the best way I've ever heard anyone argue against believing in astrology. Like, that makes so much sense. As a non-Jew who like knows pretty much the extent of most of my knowledge, Rachel, is what you've told me. I'm like, oh, that totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Instagram or Twitter?
I like Instagram because sometimes I feel violated on Twitter scrolling through.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see that. Like, it's so, so graphic. And so much. This, like, shock value
because you follow
porn.
All porn people, kind of. Yeah. Like, same here. Yeah. My feed is all, like, gifs of people's holes.
Like, I'm fine with, like, holes, but it's like the shock value porn. It almost just seems like self-mutilation to myself. Or, I mean, to me.
Okay. Like, so,
it's
like...
I always feel bad for the humans. I'm like, what are they doing to their human?
Oh my gosh.
Like,
who
be
the
nice
fuck are
to
you
your
following
human.
On Twitter?
Dude, like, or like, even like when you're on Pornhub and like the little ads, like, they're so fast and violent. They're like, like, it just makes me scared for all the genitals.
I've always felt that way about the GIFs on tube sites, though. It's like, it's that whole thing where they're just like trying to get your attention and get you to click on something within 5 seconds, so they have to throw you the most like eyeball assaulting thing possible, and I don't think that usually doesn't bode well.
Yeah.
Alright, so Instagram, which, yeah, that's fair. Push-ups or pull-ups?
I like.
Like, the exercise, not the children's diaper. To clarify, because obviously you would have gotten them confused.
I don't think push-ups are a brand of diaper. Pull-ups are a brand, but
yeah,
push-ups aren't.
Like, I'm not asking him to choose between push-ups the exercise or pull-ups the diaper brand. I'm asking
him to choose. I don't think that's immediately where you go from the context clue of push-ups, though.
I don't think so, but I'm clarifying mainly for our listeners, not for Robbie, because based on some of the things... Some
listeners,
of the comments I get from fans and listeners,
unlike Adrian,
I question.
I don't
people's...
think you all are idiots. I think you know that when she said pull-up, she meant a pull-up as in the exercise, not
all
as
right.
in a brand.
God damn it. Robbie, push-ups or pull-ups?
I do really like pull-ups. Something about pull-ups that are really
I
cool.
think I've seen you do pull-ups a lot more than I've seen you do push-ups also.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I'm more enthusiastic about pull-ups because I'm like, look, I'm pulling my body off the ground. It's like exciting.
And they're harder. I mean, I can do 20 push-ups, but I can't do one pull-up. Like,
yeah, I think I'll go with pull-ups.
They're hard. Toilet paper over or under?
You know, I used to not care at all.
What happened? What trauma in your life changed your position on caring?
I don't know. I think there's just some satisfaction that I get knowing that that's the right way, I guess.
Oh, but what way?
Where it's over the top.
Oh, yay!
And then you pull it down.
Oh, I'm so glad. Okay, I appreciate it.
Otherwise, the flap just like is hanging behind.
You have to fuck around trying to get it. I feel like people will put it under when they like want you to not overuse the toilet paper, because like technically it's kind of harder for it to like over like run itself if you just yank it. I don't know, but
everyone who I know who puts it under, it's because they have a pet who will pull all the toilet paper if they put it over.
That actually makes sense. Oh. I'm glad my cats won't do that. All right, whales or dolphins?
Dolphins,
because they have sex for fun.
Cool.
That, like us.
That and. They look like they have so much more fun in the waves than whales do.
Aww.
They're very radical in the waves, man.
Dude, bro, you remind me of a dolphin right now because your face is just so clean shaven and just...
I know, I look like a dolphin.
You look slippery right now.
I'm very water dynamic now.
So, all right. So wait, you had a beard. Was it a quarantine beard?
Yeah, it did start then, and then once work started picking back up again, I was like, I'm not shaving this off, I'll just trim it and make it look nice.
You're one of those people who looks vastly different with a beard versus no beard. It's kind of surprising.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks so...
It changes your face a lot.
Yeah, like my face gets so round.
I think it's partly because you kind of have little dimples, and they're hidden when you have facial hair. I don't know, it's cool, and you look good with both.
I mean, it was yesterday that I did this, so I'm still trying to get used to it. I keep looking at myself, I'm like, who the fuck is that guy?
That's Robert P. Apples, all right?
What's the P stand?
I don't know!
I think you do.
You pee on apples.
I pee on apples?
Yeah.
Who would ever do such a thing?
That is some specific kink content.
All right, the last, but... clearly most important question. Me or Sean Elf?
I mean, hands down, like no thought is needed to go into this. It's you.
I was really hoping you were going to say Sean, like, for the bit. But respect.
I mean, you spend more time with Sean.
Yeah, but Sean doesn't let me put things inside of him.
I'm pretty sure you put smoothies inside of Sean on a regular basis.
Okay, wait, but if Sean did let you put things inside of him, would it be Sean?
No, because Sean doesn't like astrology. So.
Oh, okay. I'm glad that's the one thing separating me from Sean Elf.
I wouldn't be able to connect with him on a deep level like I can with Siri. Like, we're able to dive deeper into... what it is to be a human being.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. And I'm going to clip that whole segment of the episode and just tweet it directly at Sean.
I have a question. Did you paint that painting that's in your background? That's very cool.
You literally asked him about the thing I was going to ask him yet. Yay, cool. Because we're kind of getting close to our time. So, Robbie, I really wanted to ask you about two other things, and we don't have, like, a ton of time left for you to, like, go off on them, but I know there are things that I've really enjoyed talking to you about, which are your art, because you are a painter.
And, I am a painter.
I don't know why I just kind of went a little Borat on that. And I wanted to ask you about psychedelics.
Well, I'm a painter. As you can see.
Do you ever, like, post it on Instagram or anything like that?
Yeah, I have an Instagram account. I haven't updated it in a long time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a bunch of art on there.
Sweet.
Check out. It's, my Instagram is @followtheseeker.
And I love that, like, the house in LA is decorated with a bunch of your paintings, because they're, like, ethereal, kind of. I don't know. I'm not like an art critic, so I don't usually know what I'm talking about. But that's kind of what I think of when I see them.
I think that's a great word for them. I mean, that's kind of what I try to go for.
It also looks to me whimsical.
Yeah, yeah. I think my approach with art most of the time is I'm trying to I'm trying to emulate the weirdness of existence. And I want to show, like, I find it really funny that as humans, you know, we get so used to our everyday reality and we're just like, oh, this is just everyday life. Like, nothing weird here, nothing to see here. I'm just going to work. I'm paying my credit card bills. and it's really fucking weird. Everything is really fucking weird. Every aspect of our existence is weird. And I want to, I just want to, like, I guess that's kind of the feeling that I try to put in my artwork. A lot of it has to do with, like, these guys have to do with how I find belief to be so fascinating, how humans believe in different things, and just the origins of our beliefs, and how it's always usually a sun god. So like these guys are all, they're all praising the sun god who's coming in.
I'm just screenshotted so I can, like,
were you
reference were what you we're looking at here
so into the style before you first did psychedelics, or was it because of psychedelics that you started thinking deeper about this?
I was into urban contemporary artwork from like late teens, because I wanted to start a skateboard company, and a lot of the graphic designers that were designing the skateboards, they were also painters. And so I started kind of copying their artwork and just kind of just dicking around, just having fun. And then a few years down the road, I was like, oh, you know, I really love this. And then I did psychedelics. And then that was when I really started pumping in those psychedelic aspects and my new expanded perspective on existence.
Would you ever mix your art with your work as a sex athlete, and how would you do that?
Oh, you know what I thought about doing? I thought about making a painting with my naked body.
Ooh.
But I would have to get special paint. I couldn't use like oil paint. That would be very bad. I would die.
Oh, that would be so bad. That would be very bad.
Oh, God.
I went to...
You would smell like oil paint for like 2 months.
Oh, I went God. To art school, and so like right before lunch for like 2 semesters I had figure painting and then just general oil painting classes, and so now whenever I smell like solvents or turpentine I get hungry.
That is such an odd response. I love
yeah
it.
It is a truly weird response. It's like nice. I smell paint or like something that is like, that's a chemical that you shouldn't ingest, and I'm like,
I love the way
I could really go for a sandwich right now.
Oh my God, that's great. That's
so funny. So yeah, the psychedelics came into my life when I was about 21. I had hit rock bottom with my depression. I was very depressed throughout my teenage years and very suicidal. And when I was 21, I was like the most suicidal, and I couldn't take it anymore. And I was just, I like made this plan that, oh, I would throw my life away with drugs and then I wouldn't care what happened to me. And then I would probably have the balls to kill myself. Because I didn't have the balls to kill myself because I would always think about like, oh, what would happen to my mom? What would happen to, you know, my family? And I had grown up being kind of a straight edge because I wanted to be this best skateboarder that I could be. So, this was my big plan to off myself, and it really backfired in the best way. Because I was very new to drugs, I started with cannabis, and I figured I would work my way up. But cannabis was the easiest one to get a hold of because all my friends smoked it. And then a curious thing happened. After 2 weeks of smoking cannabis, I had no more suicidal thoughts, and I had a huge boost of curiosity. It was kind of like someone turned the color on in life, and I had all these questions, and I was like, holy shit, like I might actually have a chance at a good life. Like, is this changing my chemistry and making it more balanced? because I believed the idea that my chemistry was imbalanced and I was going to have to be on medicine for my entire life. And so I thought cannabis was kind of doing that. But later I realized that cannabis was just kind of giving me a jolt out of my mental pattern so I could see in a different way. So I was doing all this research on it because I was like, I'm going to have to go up against my mom and argue that, this thing that we've, always been told is absolutely terrible is actually good for me.
Can I interrupt for 2 seconds?
Yeah.
By this point, had you abandoned the plan to like just do a bunch of hard drugs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was like, holy shit. Like, so this could be my chance at having a good life.
And you kind of like went with the thing that we were probably all taught. I mean, I know I had like DARE in elementary school and you learn like marijuana is a gateway drug. Like the second you smoke pot, you're going to be like, the next thing is crack. And then heroin. Yeah. And then you're dead.
Yeah.
And that is obviously not true. But no. you had to, you found that out.
Yeah. I had no more interest in like getting into harder drugs. Like I thought cannabis was all I needed. And I was trying to show my mom all these studies that I was finding about how it could help with depression. And, along the way I found Terrence McKenna, who is, he has a PhD in ethnobotany, which is the study of how indigenous people use certain substances. And someone had put a bunch of his talks on YouTube and I was watching them all and I had never heard anyone talk like the way that he did, just the perspective on our culture and all these fundamental ideas of our, that our society runs on. And he was just blowing my mind. And then he started talking about using magic mushrooms in a ritualistic way. And like my first initial thought was like a straight edge thought, which was like, why is this brilliant guy doing magic mushrooms? Don't they make your brain bleed? And then I was like, wait, I was wrong about cannabis. What if I'm wrong about magic mushrooms? So then I did a bunch of research on them, found out that the LD 50 point, the point at which 50% of the rat population dies off, is so astronomical. They estimated a human would have to ingest around 2 pounds of magic mushrooms just to reach the point where your body is like, hey, like, what are you doing? Like, this is too much. Like, we're reaching a toxic point, but you still wouldn't even die from it. Your body would just freak the fuck out physiologically. Psychologically, you would probably be
fucked up.
So fucked up.
Oh my God, who knows? I can't even imagine.
If you could even ingest that many mushrooms.
Yeah. Smoothie.
Smoothie, yeah. So once I found out physiologically that I would be absolutely fine, I listened to his talks on how to do them properly, how to go in there with an intention, how to be in a safe environment, and that you can go in there and you can reprogram yourself. And my first trip, it was kind of like a very vivid daydream, and it felt like my head had split open and I was watching the universe flow through me, and it kept telling me everything is everything, everything is everything, and showing me how I've been connected to the universe forever. And then it sat me in what felt like a movie theater room in my head, and it replayed like different parts of my life back to me, and was just showing me how I've been a complete asshole to myself. And it was like, you don't have to have these problems unless you want these problems. You are the creator of your reality. And then it told me to surround myself with love and I would be protected by the universe and nothing good would come of alcohol. And then it sent me on my way. And from that point on, I just wiped the slate clean of who I thought I was. I was like, we are a blank slate now. What do we want to be? And I set out to become the most loving, best version of myself, so that I could spread that love that I was shown and try and help other people with that. I got a little emotional at the end.
It's a heavy subject. I mean,
I love hearing you talk about your experience. You're like how that, you know, doing magic mushrooms, like, change your perspective. It's really great. I love it. Yeah, it's sweet.
I owe it everything. I wouldn't be here without it.
It was really hard for me, though, when you said spread love, to not just interject with your dick.
I mean, that kind of is. Because
you do that, too.
That kind of is, like, when the porn opportunity came up, like, I always have this agenda in the back of my mind that's like, oh, I'll have a bigger platform and I can influence more people. So I always have this agenda of, like, trying to subvert the world with my love.
You want everyone to join your Apple cult.
Yeah, that sounds right. That's why everyone realizes.
I guess I'm in your Apple cult.
I want everyone to realize that we're all one. And that we're all in this together, and that these divisions are false, and that we've always been one, and we'll always be one.
Wow.
I think that's a really lovely and sweet place to end our episode.
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna say any more, like, doofy, trolly things like I typically would, because you are, like, also the most wholesome porn star that I know, I think.
Yeah, that's what that's another subversion that I really aim for, is to, like, I really like the idea of taking this, you know, this character in society that's kind of a social pariah, and showing that, like, even that can be done in a really wholesome way, that mm-hmm. is not inherently evil. That you can be really good.
Yeah. I think our perspectives on the porn industry and why we do what we do really align specifically in that, because that drives a lot of why I came back to porn, and what I keep in my mind when I think about my goals in the future are, like, very much centered around that, and just, like, making the industry a better place, and trying to change all the stigma that we have against sex workers. I mean, and not just porn stars, but also, like, all types of sex workers, because it's kind of, like, across the board.
Yeah.
Who dang. Where can people find you on social media?
You can just go to robbieapples.com. And you will find everything I have there.
The will they find your YouTube
and
videos?
The wholesome. Yep.
Yay! Where I did a voiceover as a, like, I don't know, what was I, an anime apple?
Yeah, kind of.
Cult or something? Like,
you were...
I just did my best woo-woo girl, like, impression.
Siri did a voiceover for an apple orgy. There were apples having an orgy.
Ooh.
And she was a female apple.
Yep, having some hot, hot orgy action. That was basically what I did.
Your noises really made it everything.
Thank you.
I get that, so excited.
That just to me sounded like Adrian went through a phase where she would just talk about the turtles having sex, and she would just replicate
video, that viral video of the turtles. I couldn't stop quoting it. I mean,
yeah.
Quoting it isn't right because there weren't words, but I was quoting it, really.
Yes.
Like, is it the one where they're like...
I can't do it because I need to watch it again, but yeah, no, it's... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a phase in my life where it would just be like, we'd be talking, and then all of a sudden, she'd just do that, and I'd be like... Adrian, you just really, please. Why are we doing this right now? Please stop.
Because turtles fucking. It's so funny. Oh God. Well, we do have just a real quick voicemail from Fan.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
And if you want to leave us a voicemail like this fan does, you can call us at 818-457-6535. Again, that's 818-457-6535.
All right, let's listen to this voicemail, shall we? If I can make it play.
Hey, this is Sterling. I'm kind of feeling in a weird mood today, and I just thought I'd ask, since it started the November, what your thoughts are on the ridiculousness of No Nut November. Stupid. it. I mean, I always thought it was stupid. The fact that it's even became such a movement to the point where it's like porn sites have been under attack. Like, it just, I didn't know from a performer's perspective and even Rachel's perspective, like, what your opinions are of the whole thing, because I think it's rather stupid and, yeah. So,
porn sites have been under attack?
I think it's just, like, people who participate in No Nut November. Like, I know there's, like, a big, like, subreddit, like, No Nut November, and people, like, attack. I mean, I think, like, I guess I'll go first since I'm already, like, on it. Mm-hmm. But I think there's two types of people who do No Nut November. There are people who are, like, I would say, like, your typical person that probably watches porn habitually and jerks off to porn and is, like, cool with it. And then just does No Nut November, like, because they just think it might be fun to see if they can, like, go a whole month without coming for some reason. And then there are the people who are, like, probably anti-porn anyway, and they like No Nut November because it gives them an excuse to, like, stop watching porn and, like, feel like they're aligned with something bigger in that, if that makes any sense. So,
I think No Nut November, celibacy of any sort, it's like you have to make the decision from a personal standpoint, not because it's like part of a movement and you think that you're gonna suddenly become like
a better person
because you're not nutting for 30 days. But you know, I think the thing about No Nut November is, you know, it's like anything else. People can just take it too far. And I think, you know, you're welcome to abstain from porn. Using your imagination is a good thing. But, like, if you're doing it because you think you're going to become a better person or develop superpowers, because
you're going to be disappointed.
You're going to be disappointed. And you're going to wish you had nutted every day of No Nut November.
I bet. What do you think, Robbie?
Have
you ever done No Nut November?
No. I've never done No Nut in my life.
Oh my god. So you're nut, no nut.
I'm nut all the way. yeah, I mean, I like the aspects of self-control. I like how humans can see what they're capable of doing in controlling their body and their bodily urges. I think that's fascinating. But, I mean, I think the science is in. You're supposed to be nutting. It's good for your health.
The science is in. You're supposed to be nutting.
It's good for your prostate.
Also, I think trying to participate in No Nut November in the year of our Lord 2020 is is like
why would you do that to yourself?
Why would you add an extra layer of awfulness? Because I don't think there's like a thing of like, I don't think there's like a no orgasm October for if you have. Like, if you have a vagina and if you have a clitoris.
Yeah, but anything like, but a prostate, yeah.
But, like, you know, just don't do that to yourself. If you're not gonna nut, like, have it be for a valid reason. Like, you're depressed. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, in which case, people who are not nutting because they're so depressed are probably not choosing to not nut. It's probably very much a, like, you know, I'd love to nut if I could.
Yeah, exactly.
Looks wistfully off into the distance.
Yeah, you have to nut for all the people who cannot nut. Robbie, they can find you at robbieapples.com. You can find us...
afteradult.com.
You can find us at afteradult.com. You can find us on Twitter at afteradultpod and on Instagram at afteradult. If you want to email us, I am therealrachel@protonmail.com.
And I'm therealsiri@protonmail.com.
And again, our voicemail number, if you want to call and leave us a voicemail, thanks, Sterling, for doing that. It's 818-457-6535. Again, that's 818-457-6535. And I hope you're feeling in less of a weird state, dude.
Oh my god. Thank you so much for coming on, Robbie.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. Nut Robbie Apples. Nut. I'm so sorry. I'm done. All right. Bye.
You change your whole damn life, you just watch one of the vids. Far from born again, she's doing porn again.